Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Shine, 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 shine. Hi everyone, I hope you're all shining bright.
We're going to shine it up.
Welcome to the Shine It Up podcast with me, Jackie Gillies. Come join me on this journey as we unpack the Real Housewives of Melbourne, deep dive into all things that I do, spirituality, manifestation, self-empowerment, and being a psychic medium. And I'll chat to some friends along the way. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Shine It Up podcast. I hope you all enjoyed last week's live episode with the fabulous and hilarious Julia Morris. This week, I'm not doing the recap alone. I have a very special guest joining me for the ultimate recap of the whole of season 5 of The Real Housewives of Melbourne. None other than my bestie, Janet Roach.
We're going to shout it up.
My bestie, Janet Roach, is here on my podcast. I'm so excited to have you on my podcast, Roachie, my bestie on and off camera. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I truly appreciate it.
Oh, Jax, I am just so impressed. You know, I just love you so much, but I cannot believe that with twins that you've got up, got your act together. You look great. I tell you, you're a better man than me, Gunga Din, because I just think, wow, two babies, that is challenging, but they are so gorgeous. I love when you show me. Oh, God, I'm madly in love. And I'll see you in a few days? So it'll be great.
You will. Every week, as you all know, I've been recapping each episode of The Real Housewives of Melbourne on the podcast. I couldn't think of anyone better to join me for the final recap of season 5 of The Real Housewives of Melbourne. And it's also the season finale of my very first podcast season. So it's extra exciting and special to have you here, Roachie.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you, my love. Oh, I just love Roachie, as we all know. Everybody knows that as soon as Janet came into season 1, we had a special connection, and it stemmed from the first episode of when I gave Janet Roach a psychic medium reading. But before we go into it, there are a few things I need to say first. Before we dive into all the drama that was known in season 5, I know the listeners will want to hear about the OG days of Real Housewives of Melbourne. So the first question that I'm getting from a lot of people is, how did you actually become part of The Real Housewives of Melbourne? Because, mate, you're casting gold, as we all know.
Oh, that's so incredible. I mean, you know, I had my marriage had just fallen apart, and I had these people ringing me on the phone, and they would leave messages and they would say on the phone, oh, look, we can't tell you what it's about, if you could just get back to us. And I thought they were like telesales people. I thought they were, you know, like trying to tell me Amway or something. And so I didn't answer the call. Anyway, one day they caught up with me, and this is only after like about 2 weeks. I started 2 weeks later. They said, look, would you like to do this thing? We're going to film you and we're just going to follow you in your real life and we're going to pay you. And I'm like, hey, like what? How good's that? You know, it doesn't get any better. Anyway, then they said, you've got to watch The Real Housewives. And that night I watched Atlanta. And Atlanta, they were all there pulling off wigs and throwing each other in the swimming pool and having like a full-on fisticuff. And I rang up the producer and I said, oh, no. And so they sent me out a stick with 3 episodes of Beverly Hills. And then I said, yeah. And as you know, then Gina went and negotiated our contracts, and her and I went through about 18 bloody sets of contracts because she was really good. And we started and off we went. And my very first shoot was with you, and I didn't know that you were part of the cast. But then we said, let's go downstairs and have a glass of champagne. And I thought, this girl is a girl after my own heart. And we went down, and I think I've loved you since then, Jackie. I've just loved you. It's been great to have a really good friend, and I thank them for giving me you. But it's been great to have you on the journey too. It's just, I've really enjoyed it. Actually really enjoyed it because of you.
Oh, Roachie, I feel exactly the same way. I think that we were very lucky. I always say there's no such thing as coincidences, and what people don't know is, so the very first season of season 1, when I gave Janet a psychic medium reading, Gina was supposed to have that reading. And I believe that that everything happens for a reason. And I'm getting goosebumps talking about this. So I had met none of the Real Housewives of Melbourne cast. And when Janet came into my home, all I knew was this chick's part of the cast. And I wasn't allowed to tell anybody that I was part of the cast. Janet comes in and I start giving her a psychic reading, but I wasn't meant to give Janet the reading. It was meant to be for Gina. And it's almost like the universe made it happen that Gina couldn't get this reading, because otherwise I don't know if Janet and I would have kicked off as besties from that moment, because it was like, gave me the reading, then we went downstairs, we had a glass of champagne, as we all know that was the only thing in my fridge, just bottles of champagne. And from that moment, Janet and I become besties, and it was a genuine, real connection, and there was, you know, there was nothing behind our friendship. It was just a genuine, organic connection that just followed on through every single season. And that really is the truth, isn't it, Janet?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you said to me, yeah, I'm a cast member, I said, you're a cast member too. And I was in love. You know, I just thought, wow, if this is what the girls are going to be like, this is going to be a fabulous, fabulous ride, you know. So, yeah, we've been really good friends. And as I said, it's really made a big difference, I think, to the whole experience, actually having you there. I couldn't have been more delighted when they said you were going to come back this season, because originally you weren't going to. And I have to admit, I was a bit is it going to? And then they said, well, I've got a surprise for you. Jackie's coming back. And that was it. I was in. Done.
What do you reckon was the best memories of the early days? Because so many people are asking about the OG days. I know so many of the viewers miss the OGs a lot, and we'll get into that again later. But what do you think's your best memories?
My very best memories, personally, because I was single too, don't forget, the overseas trips, Jackie, how much fun. All the girls would leave their partners and their children and their responsibilities and everything behind. And although, look, we filmed all the time and we didn't get to do a great deal of sightseeing, just the bond and the camaraderie. I remember once we were upstairs, I'm not sure if it was Mexico or the Philippines, and there was like 16 of us with the cast, and we were in and up and out of chairs and in and out, and there must seat about 26 people up there. And this man stood up after about 6 hours into the flight and said, shut up!
Yeah, he too. I forgot. And you and I just kept saying, let's have another drink, man.
We went back to the bar then. Remember, it was one of the plane where it has the bar in the back, and we go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
and we all sort of scurried back. But he cracked the shits, remember? But the trips for me were really a highlight. We'd all have our hotel rooms. We'd go to each other's hotel rooms. We'd travel around in the people mover. We'd tell jokes and we'd tease one another and things that had happened.
How did you feel about the first cast announcement? Obviously wishing I was there, which I wasn't. So it was yourself, Gina, Lydia, Kyla, Angelique, and Cherry. How did you feel about that announcement? So let's go right back.
So the announcement, I was okay with the announcement. Yeah. But can I tell you when we did the first, you know how they get you together for press?
Yeah.
And so that's when we actually first met. I'd already met Kyla. And so that's when we first met. And you know what happened? The newbies. Simone wasn't there then. There was only the other three newbies, myself, Gina, Gamble and Lydia. And when we'd have a break, you know, we sit down and they give us lunch and we have a drink, and that they didn't sit with us either. And I remember Gina saying, what's going on here? Where are they? What's going on? And they stayed in the dressing room in the other room, and the three of them were together. Now, they didn't know each other either. I think Cherry knew Kyla, but Angelique didn't know either of them. But the three of them stuck together there, and I remember Gina saying, what's going on here? So what did I think about it? I thought, well, you know, you never know. Every season's different.
Yeah. Did you feel like with the three new girls, this was the first announcement with Gina and Lydia and yourself were coming back and Gamble, that this may be a little bit different? Did you feel the energy that things...
Oh, definitely.
Well, you just didn't know.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, Jackie, always in the past, and you'd know this because we did it together, we might get one, at the very most, two new girls. And what happens is that they immediately integrate into the group. You know, we all talk and sit with each other. We all have lunch breaks together. We all, you know, people maybe don't realize, but when we're filming, and we're filming for, say, most of the day, we're all sitting together at lunch. Even when we do our masters, you know, we sit with the crew. I sit with the crew and have lunch with them. I'm sure you do. And so we all do, you know, how was your weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Having three new girls and having this business where they wouldn't talk to us, I just thought, oh, look, it'll be different when we get into filming, I suppose. I mean, I'd never experienced it before.
I wasn't there for that, but I can certainly tell you what my experience was when I did come back. And I kind of had the same, not kind of, I did. I remember when I walked in and nobody knew I was coming back. And I remember I was sitting on the lounge. Simone came straight up to me and went, "Oh my God, Jackie, how are you? I'm fangirling." And I said, "Girl, don't fangirl. We're all on the same level here." And I said, "You're so nervous, aren't you?" She was just really sweet and genuine. And the other ladies, Angelique, Kyla, and Cherry, were over in the corner, and I had to go up to them and go, "Hi, I'm Jackie. How are you, ladies?" And I remember it was a bit like, now that I look back, I felt like, I don't think it was malicious or anything like that. I think it was more like they were nervous. They were coming into, this is my take on it, they were coming into a already established show that was recognized as successful, and maybe they were a bit nervous. I don't know.
I thought that by that stage of the game, they'd been already tight friends. They'd made quite tight friends over the 12-month period between the first start and the second start.
I did feel that there was a, you know, they're friends and there's nothing wrong with that, but I did feel like there was already an established energy where it was them and maybe us. I kind of felt that, and I just kind of put that to the side. This is me personally, and I placed it for a minute and I was like, "We'll just see how this goes." Do you know what I mean? So I understand where you're coming from, but I didn't know that the same thing kind of happened when you, Gina, and Lydia were doing your press, because the same thing, that same kind of situation happened.
To be honest, when we were doing our press, I think the first time, I think they stayed in the other room because they did that usual thing that sort of new girls tend to do, is that they completely took over the makeup artist and they were so concerned about all of their photos, whereas we were out having a glass of wine and, you know, and
just got on with it,
sitting back waiting for them to call, you know, we're not touching up all the time and everything. And they were there touching up. And I think that was due to nervousness.
What was your reaction when Lydia and Gina decided not to come back? So you didn't know I was coming back at this point. So when it was announced again and those pair decided not to come back, how did you feel?
You know what I really thought, Jackie? I really thought, holy shit. I'll be completely honest with you. I thought, this can't work. This can't work. I don't know how. What are we going to do with all new girls? Because, you know, when we have a new girl, even when we integrate her into the group, it does make a different dynamic. But not to have you was already the biggest blow. But even when the other two weren't coming back either, and I thought it's just Gamble and I was nervous. I didn't know how it could work, because it's all about the relationships.
That's fair. That's fair. You're spot on, because the one thing that the viewers are invested in, right, was all our relationships coming together, whether you liked us or you didn't. You knew that we kind of grew throughout the season, right, together, and we'd have conflict and resolution, and it was kind of a situation where we just get on with it. And the viewers really are invested in our characters and our relationship. If I took myself out of being on this show altogether and I was watching it as a viewer, I would actually feel the same way, because I've seen, you know, I've watched all the other seasons of all the other formats, Potomac, Beverly Hills, Atlanta, and New York City and New Jersey. So I totally get what you're saying. It would have been this thing of, I was gone, the only person left was you and Gamble, and I get, understandably, I would have thought the same thing. How is this actually going to work?
We also had a situation between us, because we'd all been working together over the four seasons, which is something that I didn't realise that we had until we didn't have it anymore. So if you remember, when we all used to work together, we were all a band together, whether we were disagreeing or not. Yeah. So we would always, it's your turn in the middle for the poster. Yeah. It's your turn in the middle for, and we would make sure everybody had a turn. It was always fair. There was none of this pushing to get and shoving to get or any of that, because we were all, had already sorted all of that out. We had our program, you know, your turn on the end this time, your turn in the middle, who walks in first, all of that sort of stuff we completely shared, and there was never an issue with it. Having the new girls, man, that was interesting.
Yeah, I think because it was their first rodeo and it was like, how's this going to go? But, you know, moving forward, did you speak to any of your women during the delayed period, Lydia or Gina?
No.
So you did, so for 1 year?
I didn't speak to anyone. Yeah, well, because I was in Queensland most of the time.
You're getting on with life, doing you. You went over to Queensland, you hung with your man, you bought that beautiful place in the Versace Palooza. So I get it. And I didn't speak to anyone either. I haven't, you know, it was just like I was getting on with my IVF journey. But what's interesting in between that delayed period, I remember I got a phone call. I think I told you this, but I had a dream the night before. And I dreamt I was filming The Real Housewives of Melbourne. I was talking to Potts, Lisa Potash, one of the executive producers of the show for the season one to four. When she rung me, I just knew. I said, "You're asking me to come back on The Real Housewives, aren't you?" And she said, "Yep." This is before Gina and Lydia said that they weren't coming back, right? And I was goosebumps thinking about this because I said, "I have to go back," because I dreamt it. And in the dream, I was talking about my IVF journey. So I knew that that was a reason I had to go back. But the biggest thing was I wasn't allowed to tell you. And the funniest thing was... Oh, my God,
that was what was... so dreadful. I came to see you.
Yes, you did. And
oh my God.
And it looked like Janet was bashing over the head with a baseball bat because she knew she was starting to film in like 5 weeks. And she was like, "I cannot believe you're coming back, Jake." And she was like, "Do you mind if I call you?" I said, "You can call me every day all day." And I had to hide that I was coming back. And Janet was like almost crying as we're sitting at the restaurant. And
I was saying, "Jackie, please don't leave me. Don't leave me, please."
Yes, she
please.
Was saying
and
that.
And you're going, "Well, look, you know, I've got bigger fish to fry," you're telling me.
And Janet was like almost, well, she was literally crying. And Ben's hitting me under the table going, there was a part of me that so wanted to tell Roger, but I had to. I made a promise to Lisa that I wouldn't say anything. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I can't say anything to her. And when I rang up Roachie, because I said, I cannot, the word's not lying, I just couldn't divulge that I wasn't coming back. And I was like, I can't do that to Janet. I just can't, and I can't not tell her. So I remember making that phone call and I said, "Janet, I've got something to tell you." She said, "What?" And when I said, "I'm coming back," you literally cried and screamed on that phone. I said, "Get ready. It's happening, girl." You were so excited. Oh,
Jackie, you were so strong about that you weren't coming back. You were it's not for me. I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm doing all this. And whilst I understood that, when you called and said that actually you were coming back, I screamed, I cried, I couldn't believe it. I was so, so delighted. After this now, I'm still so delighted that you came back.
I love you. Did I actually said to Lisa before I said yes to coming back, even though I dreamt I knew I was going to come back, I said, "Is Roachie still on board for this season?" This is the first initial chat, because I don't think I would have come back if you weren't. Because obviously, if Gina's leaving and Lydia's leaving and it just leaves Gamble, it's just like Gamble and I, and Gamble is like family to me as well. But obviously, you and I are so close. It would have just been this situation of, well, what? That's hard, man. It's hard because you've got a whole lot of new ladies coming in and just Gamble and I. And then it's like, how do you forge genuine relationships if you don't know them? And, of course, you do forge genuine relationships. What I'm trying to say is we're already established. So just keeping Gamble and myself in, that may have been a very tricky road to run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then you know how I felt when it was just going to be Gamble and I.
I do know how you felt, but I already knew that I was coming back and you were freaking out. Now I'm going to get straight into it. Okay, girl. Okay, let's get into this season five of The Real Housewives of Melbourne. So it was definitely a dramatic season. I have had a lot of you go, "Jackie, you're a bit quiet this season," but understandably, I was pregnant. I wasn't allowed to have any stress. And the one thing that I did say is if I come back, I can't be under stress, because if I was pregnant and it was implantation stuck, I already had a miscarriage. So my doctor had said, "Jackie, we cannot put you in any high-pressure situation." So as you can see this season, I keep myself very calm. I keep myself very cool. I don't react as much, even though there were times I wanted to blow the hell up. I did that for the sake of my twins and my pregnancy journey. And Janet knew that. And it's not that I wasn't keeping it real, because I was. It was just that I couldn't allow myself to engage in the extra drama as I would have probably in previous seasons. So my number one priority was keeping myself stress-free. And Janet was very good at making sure that I was stress-free.
Sometimes I got so annoyed with the other girls. I was just like, you know.
You do.
"Don't you know she's got a very, very sensitive pregnancy? What are you doing?"
Anyway. Janet, you're my rock, man. But listen, you and Carla start kicking off on episode one with her bringing champagne glasses to your house, and then at the day spa with Kyla saying that Cherry needed to up her fashion game. I think that the listeners would really like to know what your history is with Kyla. I get asked this all the time in press. So what was it like back when you knew each other life years ago? Did you get along back then? People need to know this. I think this is a genuine question viewers want to know.
Yeah, I did know her in, I think it was about 2010. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was 2010. Now, my husband's business partner, who we were very close, we all worked together in the same office, but we all had our own businesses, Kyla became his girlfriend. And nice. So yeah. I did have them down at my house in Red Hill once or twice. Then, even then, I was a bit like, we weren't very close because yeah. I just found, well, clearly I'm older than her, and also, well, we didn't have similar interests, and she used to tell me these fantastical stories, and I used to have to be a good hostess and go, yeah, yeah. But apart from that, she was a lovely girl. She worked for my husband's business partner. His name's Mark. Let's just go Mark. She yep. worked for Mark. They had a ticketing business. They lived together. And so she was probably around for, I'm just thinking, a year, maybe a year and a half. And so when we did functions for work and everything like that, I'd see her, but not that much. She and I weren't that close. There was nothing bad about her. She was a lovely girl. They were very much in love, so it was nice to be around them. We were like a bit in one another's pockets because of the boys were so close.
A lot of people have said, you said that you felt she wasn't being authentic, and it was mentioned that a lot of things were said and that happened at the dinner in Far North Queensland about the lies we knew Kyla was telling, et cetera, was cut out of the episode. Is there anything that was cut out of the scene that you think would have helped the viewers understand where you're coming from?
Yeah, well, I think the way that I actually started the dinner, and I suppose it's a question to you, do you remember? I remember that I didn't want to do it and she wanted to go for it. So I wanted to give her a bit of a heads up for where I was going. So the first thing I said, all right, how would you feel about the person that introduced you to Bernie Madoff? I don't want to be that friend. And
I
then that just, she just lost her shit then. But that was sort of where I was going.
Yeah, I think what the viewers did know too, and I can vouch for this, is that at that dinner table, when Kyla did say, I want to put everything on the table, Roja was very clear at saying, I don't want to go there. I do not want to go there, Kyla. I do not want to discuss things that may have happened in the past. And to be fair, Jenna and I are very, very good friends, and Jenna didn't sit there and bitch about Kyla to me about her past, didn't tell me things that she has maybe experienced with Kyla with her past, and I still to this day don't know. So I want the viewers to know that Janet wasn't sitting around telling people stories about Kyla. She didn't say things to Gamble. She didn't say things to me, and that was very, very clear, okay? So when you see me on the throughout the season go, Janet hasn't told us anything. She's not painting any picture about Kyla to me. She's just saying there are things that I do not want to discuss, and I respect Rachel for that, that I've experienced with Kyla in the past, and it was kind of left at that. But then when situations would arise within the season, things would come up that made Janet feel uncomfortable, correct me if I'm wrong, of her past experiences with Kyla, of things that she would say that didn't make sense to her, to us as a group. Because I don't know Kyla the way you did years ago and the things you've experienced. And Gamble didn't know, neither did I. Or maybe Gamble did, I don't know.
It wasn't actually about, and I didn't go around saying things because I didn't want to taint anyone's mind, and I really would have just rather pulled her aside and said, now listen,
there's
a whole heap of things here that you're actually saying. This is what made me uncomfortable, is that she was making a narrative. Do you remember when it all started really when we went to her champagne masterclass, and she tells the big story about how it all came about and everything, and I just wanted to say to her, look, I knew you 10 years ago. And what you're saying, that you were there in 2005 or you were there in whatever, she also came to visit me in 2014 when she was first pregnant. She was looking to rent a house in Red Hill, and I thought it was an excellent idea because it's a beautiful place to bring up a child. And so I went with her and Kiri for the day, and we drove around. And so, of course, we spoke a lot then.
So you met Kiri before that. So you're with Kiri. So Kyla and Kiri were in your car and you're driving around looking for a property in Red Hill.
For a whole day, we did about 6 or 7 properties.
I didn't even know that you knew that you were introduced to Kiri. I didn't know that.
He didn't say really very much to me at all. But what I sort of had the problem with was a lot to do with a lot of the things that she was saying just made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I'll tell you why. Not for any reason that there was nothing wrong with the stories that she was saying. It's just that she was sitting there telling you girls who are my friends these things when right in front of me when she knows that I actually know they're not true. And I didn't know what did she expect? Did she expect me just to stay stum and say nothing? So what I wanted to do was pull her aside and say, listen, hun, you know, you're putting me in a pretty difficult situation here. What if these are my actual friends? I'm going to tell them that I don't know what to do here. I hadn't said anything to you guys. And I kept trying to sort of say, look, I'm feeling really uncomfortable. She's sitting here lying to you guys, looking me in the eye when she knows that I know that it's not true. And I don't know, Jackie, what do you do in that situation? After I actually said, because I didn't say a lot actually at the table. That's why it wasn't that.
You didn't.
About going to France 18 times or something was a throwaway thing at the end. And that was the thing that made it to the cut, unfortunately. Yeah. And saying you don't speak French, meaning that she didn't speak a word of French, not she didn't speak fluently. Yeah. But what it was I just wanted to pull her aside and say, hun, you're making me feel really uncomfortable. But what I felt like was, okay, she knows where I'm coming from. There's no need to go and beat a dead horse. I was happy to let it go. How I saw the situation go was that then she got very, very angry and started doing all these other things to me all the time. Like she'd say, you know, we'd be friends, but then she'd say we talked about her on the bout. You know, I'm not going to go into all of the stuff. But there were five or six things that she kept telling the other girls, and I felt very much that she didn't allow me, or I don't know, maybe you had a better experience than me, but she didn't allow me. She didn't let those girls speak to me, not one word, because she was frightened that I was going to tell them. And then she frightened them and gaslit them. You know, they were terrified. Poor Angelique.
And I've said this before, I reckon Angelique would have been a really good housewife because I felt like she had charisma. She was really funny on her masters. And I felt that that snippet of when I saw her pilot tell Angelique, was Jen in your house, was she in your apartment going through things? I felt like that just sent Angelique over the edge, and then it was like, I'm out. But to be fair, I felt like you and Angelique didn't have a very strong conversation about anything. So for me, it was a bit shocking that it was like...
Well, can we just back up a little bit?
Yeah.
If we just back up a little bit, the fact of the matter is, this is why that was so difficult, is that in the very beginning of the season, we were told, I know you were, I know I was, and I'm sure Gamble was too, we're told Angelique doesn't have an apartment in the Capital Grand, all right?
Yeah, now, we were told that.
It's not a storyline and we will not be going down that track. So don't bring it up. I mean, and we're all experienced enough to know, okay, we're not going to waste camera time. It's not going to be a storyline. Don't bring it up. So as far as I was concerned, she didn't have an apartment. So hearing all this that Kyla said that, I mean, and Kyla knew she didn't have an apartment also. So that's what I sort of got a bit upset about. And the original story to us about the apartment from Kyla was that Angelique had, I thought they meant where she actually lives, that Angelique had a break and enter and that she was really, really distressed and that they'd gone through all her stuff. And that was the first story that Kyla told us. And I thought it was at her other place. And I was distressed for her. And we're saying, oh, my God, that poor girl. Oh, how terrible. Oh, my God, I'd feel really violated and everything too. This is before it came out that it was supposed to be me at the Capital Grand. I mean, which is such a stupid story because this business about leasing an apartment, we were told she didn't have an apartment. I never went looking for an apartment. And then that they went on CCTV and then they were going to go to the police. I thought, but hold on a minute, Angelique, you know you don't have an apartment. Kyla knows you don't have an apartment. Cherry knows you haven't got an apartment. And just FYI, we know you haven't got an apartment too. So it's just the most ridiculous story. And
it was. And I also believe that if Angelique had come to you and had a conversation and said, oh, I'll give you a heads up, this is what I heard, this wouldn't have progressed to this point. Maybe Angelique wouldn't have left. And I do feel that you didn't get a genuine chance to be able to forge a relationship with Angelique. I really do believe that. And I actually reckon that if you and Angelique hung out more, you guys would have got along perfectly because I remember in Far North Queensland when we were having cocktails, remember? And we were having the best time. Angelique was sitting with you and I. We're having cocktails. We're having a laugh. I mean, I was having mocktails. You were having cocktails. But, you know, you guys were all having a laugh. And even Kyla and Cherry, everybody was getting along swimmingly. Like there were moments that everyone got along really, really well. And they were really good moments. And now I think that
They never spoke to me, none of them. I could have conversations around with our girls and stuff like that while we were doing that. They never spoke to me. And if I interjected into, you know, group conversation, they'd just look at me and then go. And I thought, this is just so difficult.
I think that sometimes when people come on a show like this, and I'm saying anybody, they think they've got to be a certain way to be part of the show. That's not the truth. You just got to be you. And so that's happened a couple of times over the seasons.
Because what also happens, I find, is that because we all spend so much time with one another, fibs start to not make sense because we're listening to having different conversations and things like that. So it's not a matter of how much you've got either. You're not a Disney princess coming in here. What you are is somebody, hopefully, that's an inspirational person. And truly, I mean, I think Kyla is an inspirational person. She's pulled herself up by her bootstraps. She's got a business that is going well. She is the breadwinner in her family.
Yeah.
She's put together a fantastic thing. And I just think that her real story is actually really inspirational.
Do you think that Kyla being in Angelie's ear about the apartment situation directly contributed to Angelie wanting to leave the show?
All right, publicly, I know that Angelie used that as an excuse to leave the show. In my heart of hearts, no, I don't believe that that's why she left the show. I honestly feel that after what happened in Far North Queensland when I ended up having a disagreement with Kyla, I think that Kyla got in her ear and told her that, you know, all those stories, I think they all just mounted up when Kyla sort of said we were talking about them on the balcony. We'd said something about their clothes and their hats. Then I'm supposed to have attempted to break in. Whether she thought I broke in or not, I think that what she sort of felt was that Kyla gaslighted her. That was as simple as that. Kyla put the fear into her and into Cherry, I think, to keep them close to Kyla so that Kyla had backup and maybe so that they wouldn't get close to me and I might make a bit of sense if I was saying things about Kyla. I don't think she wanted to be exposed. And so I do think that poor Angelie, although poor Angelie, I mean, she, you know, allowed it to happen.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
She just believed everything that Kyla said, and I know they're besties. I mean, if you were saying things to me, I'd believe you over anybody else. And I think that unfortunately through trying to protect herself, Kyla, I think she scared the pants off Angelie. And I think that it was just a perfect excuse to say Janet's trying to break in because, I never had a problem with Angelie. I didn't know anything about her.
No, I certainly
don't go around with the dirt. I don't need to. There was none of that. And then Kyla sort of painted this whole picture to Angelie that I was looking to do the same thing to Angelie that had happened to Kyla.
At the end of the day, when you come on a show like this, we can stand on our own 2 feet. I don't need you to back me up. A lot of people say that I support you sometimes blindly. No, I do not support Janet blindly. What people don't know is if I don't agree with something, I'll say it. And sometimes it doesn't make it to air and vice versa. Reach is the same. If you didn't see in Mexico, Janet and I got into a big argument, which was aired and filmed, and we got through it. And the points are that we definitely, we're unhappy with something, we actually have a conversation about it. And we've had numerous conversations over the years over things we didn't agree on. And that's on and off camera.
Yeah, absolutely. But we don't have this sense of, like, it's somebody said something to me about Gamble got into a scrum with what might have been with Cherry. And someone said on my social media and that, you know, why didn't you go in and back her up? I said, Gamble is more than capable of standing on her own 2 feet. She has a point to make. I should be gracious enough to step back and allow her to make her point because it's from her point of view. All this business of jumping in and backing one another up, I don't believe that it's supposed to be what your opinion about that issue is. And when we don't always back one another up. If we agree with it, we say yes. If we don't, we don't. But you'll notice how you won't have you and I in arguing with someone else. If someone's got an argument with me, I do it. If someone's got an argument with you, you handle it. Because you know why? I know that you are more than capable of making your point and standing on your own two feet. I think it's a matter of respect.
Yeah, I agree. And look, to be fair, over the years, if I agree that Janet is saying something that's absolutely spot on and I've experienced it, then I'm going to back her up and go, that is not the truth. And one thing about Rachel is she doesn't lie. You might not like some of the things that she says, but everything that she says, she stands in her truth and that's that. And maybe that her delivery isn't always the best, like mine, but, you know, it is a show and we are here for entertainment as well.
But also, too, I think about the delivery thing, Jackie, I think that it's got a lot to do with owning it.
Yes.
You know, because, look, none of us are perfect. I am far from perfect. But when I muck up, like I got in trouble about the texts, I felt that I was justified in having a bit of a whinge because I could have done it much more publicly than that. But, yeah, some of the things that I wrote in the text were aggressive because I was in an aggressive mood and I'm willing to say, yeah, not my finest moment. I definitely did it. I'm not going to deny it. So if you do it, I think that at least if you own it, then, you know, I think people probably have more respect for you. I certainly do.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, there are times throughout the season that Kyla believes that you were coming for her. But my response to that was that you had an opinion on things that she was saying and vice versa. And everybody has their right to their own opinion. And that's your opinion on that, on whatever is going on.
I don't believe that, though. I don't agree with it. I had a go at her in Far North Queensland. And I know that she tried to paint that picture, but after I said, I'm the sort of person, I'll say my piece, you said it, it's out on the table, everybody knows, now there's no point in, let's just move on. But I felt that she very much went behind my back all the time, and that's actually what I found disturbing, is that she mounted this whole campaign, she and Anjali, and clearly Cherry knew about it also. I mean, when they spoke to those bloggers and made those stories up about me, that was after Far North Queensland.
In the whole years I've done this show, it's always been easy to film with the women and, you know, it's always been organic. But I felt like this season was very different and I felt like it was sometimes a struggle to get to know the ladies one-on-one. That was my experience with that authentically. And that to me was a bit sad because I feel like a show like this deserves us in real time to really get to know the ladies one-on-one.
I think that as what you were saying before about embracing the
process,
you know, the way, embracing the process. Because what happened was that always in the past, if I have a disagreement with Lydia or I have a disagreement with Gamble and I have that disagreement face to face on camera. May not be pretty, but it's real. What was happening with those girls is that they were running a whole different thing. They were running this massive behind-the-back campaign of making up stories about us, saying that they were doing, talking about them on the balcony. You know, Kyla telling Cherry that I was coming for her, like what even is coming for her? There was never anything. If anything, I'd often said, look, you know, Cherry is the best friend of my partner's niece. So I always thought I was going to have a good relationship with her. But what they did was they banded together and they tried, what they were trying to do was put on nicey-nicey on the camera and do their fighting and everything behind the back. And that's not our process. Our process is if you have an opinion or a grievance, then
you
please
say
voice
it. Yeah.
You know, so then there's nothing for, like, I couldn't come back. I kept finding out about stuff that was going on behind my back. And then when I say it, I'm a bitch. But if I didn't say it, what are we all just going to sit there? I mean, they were just running a completely different narrative. That's not our process, Jackie.
With there being no reunion issue, right, what are some of the things you wish could have been talked about and resolved at the reunion?
I think I would very much have liked to have spoken to the girls about the fact that why were they so fearful? Because, Jackie, when you really take it back to the lowest sort of denominator, the reason that they banded together is that they were terrified.
Look, there was a lot of drama. There's also some highlights and hilarious moments for season five. Me telling you that I was pregnant, that's going to be something that I can show my boys for the, you know, rest of our lives. Like, Rosie always knew that I was going to tell you on the show, and that was this very special moment for yourself and I.
And even after we finished that shoot,
You were still crying for hours later.
I could barely speak. And you know what it was, is you said we opened up the envelope, and I didn't know if that was your baby or that's where you were going to go or where, because, you know, I didn't know. And then I just didn't know what to say. And then when I looked at you in your eyes, and you, I could just tell by looking in your eyes that they
were just pictures
of the babies. I just, in a way, I wish I hadn't done it on camera because I was unable, you know, so overwhelmed. But, Jackie, you know what you always said to me from the moment I met you? You always said to me, I'm going to have twins. And I always believed you.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise to me at all. As far as I was concerned, you were always going to have twins. And you know that stuff.
Yeah, it was such a beautiful moment. I had to share it with you. Gamble was overall just hilarious this season. The sleepover and everyone letting loose and getting drunk at your house in Flinders was amazing. And did you guys notice that Simone always looking straight at the camera? Simone, I love you, girl, but you're also looking straight at the camera.
I didn't know that. How do you know? Because do you know because when
just like people, like there's moments where she's talking, you're looking straight at the camera, I'm like, Sim, stop looking straight into the camera.
You know what, Jackie, let me ask you. I never, ever know where the camera is and I never noticed
the camera. Neither do I, but it's only when I was watching the show that I noticed it. That's why I'm laughing. But I will say we had a great time at your house, the sleepover at Flinders. It was amazing. I mean, like, did you, that deep dive of bloody Simone under Kyle and Cherry's legs was bloody hilarious. That was a fun, fun night at Flinders. Oh, my God. It was very much fun. Let's get into the questions. Janet. We have some listener questions this week for both of us to answer, okay? Bree has asked, why isn't there a season five reunion?
Well, they did say that there was going to be difficulty and that maybe they would test when we did publicity if we could do it by Skype and remotely. And then the problem with that, they sort of felt, was that if we can't see each other, then it's difficult to interact and maybe talking over one another. I think that it was because of COVID. I think that they just couldn't logistically do it.
Maybe I should host reunion Facebook Live, you and I, Oh, my God, I'm starting to laugh. Listen, Linda has asked, do either of you still catch up with the other ladies on the show? Sally, Lydia, Gina, Andrea, Susie, Chica, Petty, Flo, Venus. Yeah, I still keep in contact with Chica and Susie and Sally and Gina, and even Venus has texted me over the years. So, yeah, there is still contact there.
Yeah, me too. I still see Sally, even if it's just texting, but because she was down on the coast and I was down there, obviously I see Gamble all the time. But with the other newbies, you know that Venus moved in just around the corner from me. I've got to tell you, she is looking like unbelievable. She's overseas at the moment. Sally, Venus, who else was there? I've seen Petty Fleur a few times out and she's always a laugh and a half, isn't she? I mean, the point of it all is that all in the past, all of the girls that we ended up working with, we made relationships with them, we became friends, and I feel that the only reason that I do the show is because I really like the camaraderie and I meet all these great girls and we have great fun. Jackie, I don't feel like that this season. I did not enjoy the filming as much this season. Thank God I had you and Gamble and Simone. Otherwise, I wouldn't have enjoyed it at all. It was not like other seasons where we all got in together and had a great time. And I do not feel about the newbies the way that I felt about all our other newbies in the past.
Yeah, it was very look, I could clearly see there was a disconnect there. It did sometimes feel like it was the oldies versus the newbies or the newbies versus the oldies, and there was no reason for that because we were very open to having all the new ladies come in and getting to know them. And I just feel like when you're not open to the process like this, then the show can't work. And
it was very sad, Jack.
It was sad.
I feel that it was very sad. It was really sad because what happened in a way, I mean, if we just go down to tin tacks, not about this one did and that one did, but just as a whole general thing, I feel, and they maybe feel the same way, I feel that by gang together like that and by sticking just with the three of them and not talking or engaging with us, I believe that they robbed us of a great season as far as enjoyment for ourselves. And I believe that they robbed themselves as well.
Yeah.
And I feel that not embracing the process, really, we robbed ourselves of what's always been a fabulous ride. I've always enjoyed Housewives and it's always been a great ride. And I did not feel like that this season.
Harper asks, will you come back for season 6 next year?
Well, you know what? Let me ask you, Jackie. I always feel at the end of the season, every season, right, I always say, no, I'm never coming back. I'm not doing that again. And then Potts comes along and she says, hey, I always say at the end, I'm not coming back. But
yeah, you do. You say that every year.
What about you?
I love filming The Real Housewives of Melbourne. I don't know where I'm going to be with these boys, but like in my head, I would love to come back, but it's also going to depend on the casting. I feel like some of the OGs may need to come back. Like I feel like they do need to, not may, they do need to come back. I definitely want Gina back. Gina needs to come back. I even feel like throwing a bit of a petty Fleur in there, or even maybe a bit of a Sally. Like I feel like you got to bring some OGs back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the best would obviously be Chica. But we've tried, haven't we, to get her. We can't get her.
I've begged Chica to come back. She'd come back as a friend, but she wouldn't come back as a full-timer. Yeah. And I think that we need some of the OGs back, only because you've got to be open to this process.
I find that the camera is very much puts a mirror up to you about your personality.
Does.
So you might think that you are a certain way, but when you see yourself in a situation where it's not planned and you're thinking on the hop and you see the kind of things that you say and do, it really shines a light on your personality. And it's not always pretty.
Rachel, who would be your dream cast for season 6?
Oh, you, me, Gina, Lydia, definitely Gambie. I love Gambie. My dream cast, Chica, and I like Simone. I'd have Simone back. So that would be, who would be your dream cast?
You know what? I think that would be the dream cast. And it maybe bring back a bit of petty Flirt.
Listen, why can't we have friends of the OGs come back as well? Why can't we have Petty Fleur come in for a few things? Because I loved her. Why can't they come and drop in and join, you know? Because we love them.
I totally, totally agree. The other thing that I want to say too is a lot of things were happening behind closed doors where legal letters were being sent.
I mean, Jackie, Kyla, after I wrote the text, wouldn't film for 4 days and reported me to HR. Now, can I ask you a question? Did you know, I did not know that there was such a thing as Housewives HR. We've been doing this for 8 years and nobody's ever gone, who knew there was HR?
I didn't even know there was a HR.
Me either. Then she wrote a legal letter to production, which was very sneaky, about Gamble and I. Well, actually, not just about Gamble and I, about any of the girls are being allowed to speak about certain storylines. Now, she sent it to production because production said, well, we're not going to go with those storylines. But if she'd sent it to me or Gamble or you, I don't know that you were actually involved in it. If she'd sent it to just us two, we would have said, oh, forget it, don't worry about it. But she sent it to production. And the problem with that was that when we were trying to prove certain things, Gamble and I, in the we weren't allowed to prove our side of the story because she sent a legal letter gagging us.
Do you know what? I tweeted to people, what is it that you want me to ask Rosie? So I'm just going to read out some tweets. First thing, have you spoken to Kyla since the final episode was filmed?
On text. No, not since the final episode was filmed. No, I haven't. No, not a word.
Okay. Are you happy with how the season wrapped up without a reunion? Because I wasn't. That was messy without anything cleared up.
That's how I felt too.
Yeah, I feel too that we do need a reunion, but, you know,
because in the reunion we really can get to the backstory and to the bottom of things. Like there were things that were taken out that I would have thought would have been good for the reunion.
This is funny, actually. I'm sure nothing personal, but what was in the credenza?
Nothing. You saw nothing.
That's why I'm asking it, because it's like piss up, this one. Are you planning on getting married, and what does your partner think of the show?
Okay. I've already been married twice, and you know what? I've thought about this a bit. I actually like being a girlfriend. I would like to be a girlfriend. I don't want to be a wife again. I think that there are certain in my age group or whatever connotations that come with being a wife, and I'm actually very much enjoying being a girlfriend. And my partner, if I say anything about the show, he just rolls his eyes. Although he is amazing and supportive and fabulous, he is not in the least bit interested in the show. None of his friends are in the least bit interested in the show. And they don't watch it. So no people in my sort of real life, I don't have to run into anyone that's seen me on TV. And he just goes, well, we had a big bottle of champagne last night at the very end to celebrate the fact that we won't be at Housewives anymore every Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you know somebody's written, hey, Jay, Jackie and Janet, there has been so many Housewives. What makes for a good cast? Jackie, in your first episode, you said to Janet she was moving to Byron Bay. She bought in Queensland. Just to keep 100, people don't know, Rachel is looking in Byron to buy.
Yes.
And she bought in Queensland.
And still,
so,
Jackie, you yes. said I would end up there, and I'm telling you, I will. That's exactly where I want to be. I spent a bit of time looking, and this isn't me buying in Byron. The Versace place is my partner. But definitely the next property I get will definitely be in Byron. I spent a bit of time there, and I love it.
It's really Rachie's vibe there. She loves acreages. She loves tapping out. She loves the sea. And, yeah, like I reckon you will too. It's the angels and everything. Is there anything else, Janet, that you want to say that you feel like you should get off your chest? I believe that I want the viewers to just know that we did the best that we could for season 6. I feel like we gave what we could. I feel like it's not always easy for anybody coming on the show, and that's including Kyla, Cherry, Angela, putting everything aside for a minute. I feel like, you know, they probably did the best that they could with what they knew, and there's no judgment on that. I think that anybody coming into a show that's successful could be hard for anybody. Do you agree, Rochi? Like, I know that if I was coming in 5 seasons later, 5 years later, I'd freak out too probably and think, oh, my God, how's this going to go? You know, I've watched past seasons. You know, there's already a rapport with the OGs. So, you know, maybe that Cherry and Angela and Kyla thought, well, if they've got a rapport, maybe if we've got a rapport that, you know, it may be different. But subsequently, I felt like that may have been a discredit, not an ultimate credit, just with getting to know one-on-one on a deeper level. And sometimes I feel like maybe we didn't get to see all of them shine bright on their own, which I would have liked to have seen, because Cherry's very passionate about her yoga. She's very passionate about well-being and health. Simone, she's very much into fashion. She loves educating women and inspiring women in that environment. And she is also a very intelligent, beautiful woman. Angela, look, to be fair too, she's actually very good at what she does. Her being a presenter, even when she was presenting for us, she can just nail that like there is no tomorrow. And I feel like I would have loved to have gotten to know her more on the show about just her personally, because I had a really good connection with Angela starting off, and even off camera, I had many laughs with her. She actually made me laugh. And I feel like, and I've said this before, I reckon that I would have probably had a firm friendship with Angela if she had stayed on the show. And Kyla, everything aside, she's actually fun to hang out with. She actually makes me laugh. Like, she does some things that are laughable. Like, you've got to give it that, because I have enjoyed hanging out with her off camera as well. Like, there are things that, even with you, Rachel, like, you've had laughs with her, and I feel like...
Yeah, when she licked the bag. Remember
that was
when
hilarious.
She took the bag and she licked the bag? That was hilarious.
It was hilarious. And I feel like, I reckon, this is me, my opinion, if all the ladies, all the newbies had to come in on their own without coming in as a group, I feel like the season would have been totally different again. And I feel like it would have allowed us, the OGs, an opportunity to really delve deeper into the newbies' lives and have a even more genuine friendship. But unfortunately, it didn't go down like that. And I hope moving forward, whatever this cast of season 6 is, that everybody's just open to the process. And you've just got to, you know, if you've got an opinion, have your opinion on your own, and don't always feel like you've got to support or back somebody up with taking sides. And I feel like that way you have the ability to allow the audience to see you shine in your own. What's your thoughts on that, Rochi?
I really want to say something about You know what, Jax, you and I know it. It's a tough gig. I'm sorry. When people say to me, oh, we should do the Real Housewives of Clyde or we should do the Real Housewives, I think, you know what, people don't realize it's a lot harder than it looks. And I think we really have to say that for the new girls. And I think that for all of us, listen, we're all skating on thin ice, you know. And when I remember the first season and I remember the first season, I was like, God almighty, someone hit me over the head with a baseball bat. It was not what I was expecting. And so I do feel that I think that people need to understand that it's a really tough gig. You know, you're on, as I said before, you're so heightened emotionally and you're kept that way. That's part of the show. That's just the way that it rolls. And you don't know what other people are saying. And it's challenging. And I feel that, the new girls felt threatened. I thought that Anjalee was absolutely brilliant. You know, remember when she told us one time about if there's something happens and she's all of a sudden not doing from the auto cue, she's just got to do it herself.
Yeah,
and she's on TV and there's 20 million people watching and she's got to go, oh, now, and breaking news coming from. I mean, she went and did that for about 5 or 6 minutes and filled and did all of it. And I thought, wow, she's really good at what she does. She was. Yeah. You've got to give her that.
She
was good and she was funny. You know, I'd had a better relationship with Kyla before we started on Housewives. I think that thing really soured it.
Do you reckon that if she came back for season 62, she would be able to be forward?
Yeah, I do. I would be happy to. I'd be more. Yeah. I was happy to move forward after we had the first thing in Far North Queensland, you know, when she said, let's be friends. And I said, yeah, let's be friends and just put it behind us. I actually thought, yeah, great, here we go. You know, I had the situation with Gamble where now Gamble, I mean, we love Gamble. Gamble is our bestest buddy, and yet I had a major falling out with her. I think to Cherry, unfortunately for Cherry, I think that she has a much more beautiful, softer, really zen side that I don't think we got the chance to see of her, but which I actually see in real life. I don't think that that came through. I mean, I thought that Gamble this season was particularly funny.
She really found
her niche. I thought she was brilliant.
And listen, I think you're brilliant too this season. I feel like you kept the show alive.
I know you said you didn't want to get involved, but I do have to laugh in the last few episodes when, you know.
Oh, people didn't understand what was really going on there. There was a whole argy-bargy and all you see is just me kind of like a bloody stop sign. No, it was on. The argument between Kyla and Gamble was so – it was so on that I had to step in and that's all you see. But I want to end this on a really positive note. Rachie and my best friend, we've been doing this for years. I can't believe it's like 8 years. It's been 8 years really, to and fro, right? And who would have thought –
little girls when we started.
I know. Can you believe it? We've gone through our ups and downs and we've had the best time. And moving forward, I hope that if there is a season six, that there will be some resolved issues, whoever comes back. And that I feel like that, you know, I didn't mind this season. I felt like my journey was amazing. I was able to share my journey, my pregnancy journey with so many fans. And I actually feel blessed that you were there right beside me, cheering me on. And one of my finest moments was the baby shower that yourself and Chica hosted for me. And that's something I'll never forget. But I feel like, you want to know what I feel like one of the biggest standout scenes were of this season was? Ready? Baby Nathaniel.
Jackie.
And baby Nathaniel, that was such a pisser. Oh, I didn't even ask you. What did you think of it? I thought it was a real baby too.
It looked like a real baby, Jackie, until it got close, until he said it's not a real baby. The baby Nathaniel. Jackie, that was so funny, his reaction. But also I loved when he had the contractions.
Oh, that was a piss up. I was laughing. And his whole face is going where it's and I'm like going, and he's like, I can handle this. I said, right, you can handle this. Let's go all the way. And I dialed it right on up to number 15, baby. I thought, now fucking cop this.
You know what was funny? I have to tell you a bit of behind the scenes things. The guys that filmed that, they came to me, must have been a day or two after, Jackie, and you're not going to – they were crying.
Yeah, they were. They were all crying
with laughter. But there was a lot of stuff that nobody saw. Apparently, we don't see this on the screen, but Ben and Jackie are just there and there's a knock at the door. But Ben knows nothing. Clearly Jackie did. And Jackie gets the baby, and Jackie comes back in and tells Ben, this is what the crew told me, that, oh, this lady up the road just said that we could borrow the baby for a little while. And Ben knew nothing about this. The crew said that they couldn't. They were crying with laughter. And it went on for a lot longer than the shortcut that we saw. But how funny was that?
Do you know the producer and Dobbsy and all them, right? I'm not even joking. They're on the ground pissing their pants laughing. This is all the camera crew guys. They were like, even our producer fell on the ground laughing because I thought I'm going to stitch my husband up so much. So when the doll came, I shoved the doll in the cupboard so he didn't see it. And then when the doorbell rang, and it didn't even mean to happen. It was the runner that rang our doorbell, and I've gone, shh, shh, and I've walked out and I said, but, and Ben freaked out. Listen, we've been married for over 11 years, and can I tell you, I've never seen Ben's face freak out. They didn't even show the full extent of it. It was the funniest thing I've ever done to Ben. It was hilarious. Like, even the crew were on the ground crying laughter. Even Benny, the soundie, he was like, he goes, oh, I can't. And we were just all laughing. Like, I would have to say a good hour after it. It was so hilarious. And I knew when you saw that scene, you'd be like, I cannot wait to see this baby Nathaniel Ben the pisser.
I can't wait to see this baby Nathaniel, because they said it looked so much like it, but the crew had already told me, but they went, it was a much, 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 when I saw it then on TV, it wasn't very big because it was obviously a much bigger scene when it was filmed, but Ben's face, when you bring in.
Yeah, go, when I bring that baby in, that face, he's like.
The baby, when you bring in the baby, Ben's face is hilarious.
And he was like, who's that? He goes, that's a human. You can't just borrow a human being. And I'm dying in love because it's a fake. And when he looked, he goes, it's a fucking fake. It was so funny. Janet, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Thank you so much, Janet, for joining me for the final episode of my first season of the Shine It Up podcast. I absolutely adore you and love you. And thank you so much for always keeping 100. And let's see what happens for season 6.
I love you, Jackie.
I love you too. We're going to shine it up.
I hope you all enjoyed my recap and season wrap up with Rochie. I cannot believe we are at the end of season 5 of The Real Housewives of Melbourne and season 1 of my Shine It Up with Jackie Gillies podcast. It was tough actually starting the podcast, being heavily pregnant and then having newborn twins. I've actually thoroughly enjoyed doing my live updates and recaps. I felt like this has been like a therapy session for me, just downloading all my thoughts, my experiences of being a new mum. And I've also really loved all the beautiful messages and comments about how you all felt so connected to me sharing my IVF journey and the early stages of being a mum. Has definitely made it worth it, and just, it's been a pleasure. And honestly, I have loved every episode that I've actually done of the podcast. I don't even know how I've done it all, to be fair, because I was doing my first podcast, I think, interview, and even talking about my thoughts. No, I was actually laying in the hospital bed on the day of giving birth, talking about my birth. It hasn't been easy, but I've, you know, pulled myself up and thought, I've got to do this. There have been days where the babies have been screaming and I've been, you know, midway through an interview, and I've had Ben and my mum and dad helping me out. And I've just really, really loved doing this podcast this season. And I want to thank all of you for listening in, and you guys just make it all worthwhile. And I feel absolutely honored that you guys are actually listening to what I'm experiencing, and you've thoroughly enjoyed my interviews with my amazing guests. And without you guys listening, there would be no podcast. So I'm so thankful for that. Even as I'm talking right now, I can hear one of the babies going, ah, God. But I want you all to know that I'm excited to bring more podcasts to you as soon as the Christmas holidays are over. I just need a bit of a break with my little babes, because I felt like there has not been a break for me just yet. As in, like, I'm, you know, doing my podcast, or I'm, you know, had to make sure I was promoting The Real Housewives of Melbourne. So it's all been amazing, but I feel like I just need a couple of weeks off. But I'll definitely be back next year for season 2 of my podcast, and I will definitely be uploading my experiences with the babes, as well as what I've experienced, and some new amazing guests. Thank you so much to my team at Acast and Pro Podcast Production for helping me bring this podcast to life. You guys are amazing. I will see you all back here soon for season 2. Love you guys. Over and out. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. Mwah! See you all in 2022. Love yous. We're going to shine it up. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode of the Shine It Up podcast with me, Jackie Gillies. If you enjoyed this episode, hit subscribe and rate and review, which helps others find the podcast. For more, follow me on Instagram at Jackie Gillies TV and the podcast at shineitup_withJackieGillies. Shine It Up is proudly a part of the Acast Creator Network. Special thanks to Rode Microphones for powering this episode.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.